Good morning. I want to greet you all. In the name of Jesus Christ this morning, we have a God that gave us everything that we have and all that we need. We have a God that has gifted us the blessing of His Son coming down and walking on this earth to save you and I and all this fallen world if we choose to follow Him. This morning, leading up to this morning, there was a few others that thought they might be coming here that would have been able to preach, and we asked about three people. And it all didn't work out. So I had to resign the fact that I guess God wanted me to share, whether I felt like it or not. And I asked God what I should share, and He laid this sermon on my heart here to share with you this morning. And I just thought it was very interesting. I really enjoyed Merlin's devotional. It fit fairly well. And no, I did not talk to him what he is sharing. But he talked about the thorns. And appreciating the thorns that God has brought into our lives. But the thorns are not the only thing we have to appreciate. We just came through Christmas, and it's a holiday that's filled with family, friends, and getting together with joyous times together. Christmas is also a celebration of the sending of God's Son to this earth. And with that comes, through all the celebration and get-togethers, comes Christmas carols, cookies, and lots of gifts giving. Christmas has become more than just a holiday, but almost a season that a lot of people spend months preparing for. But it seems as soon as the day that is called Christmas is over, people forget the joy and festive spirit that they just had and go back to everyday life. It just always amazed me. They spent hours upon hours putting all their Christmas lights up, and it seems only like a day or two after Christmas it all disappears. While they spent months preparing. Christmas has become this day that it's almost expected that you give gifts to your friends and loved ones. And it's come to a point that you can expect that you will receive something special also. I know those that have businesses or work at more than just a, especially some of your businesses that deal with a lot of other different vendors. But at times you receive from your vendors tokens of appreciation for the business that you or I have given them over the year. It's always exciting to see what the next salesman walks in the door with. And if any of you had the privilege of receiving those types of gifts, there's sometimes the gifts that you all fight over. There's something really nice. A lot of times it's food. Sometimes it's just some dry crackers. Sometimes it's some good chocolates. Some of the gifts, you could hardly give them away if you needed to. But it's come to a point that it's something that you just expect that you'll be receiving. And if you don't receive something, you might be asking, did we do something wrong? It has gotten to a point that parents start asking their children what they would like to have. And we can easily get trapped up into that too. But it sets the children up to now expect that they'll be receiving whatever they ask for. I always enjoy looking at statistics online. And it's expected this year that over $1,000 will be spent per person in buying gifts, will be spent on gifts this year. But the saddening point is that it's also projected that 47% of all those gifts will be returned after Christmas, because largely being the receiver was not happy with the gift because they were expecting something different. This morning's message title is Appreciating the Gift. Merlin talked about appreciating and finding, appreciating the thorns that God gives into your life. But how many times do we sit back and think about it? Are we actually appreciating the good things that God's putting in our lives? Too many times it's like those gifts, we get so accustomed to God actually giving them into our lives that we totally forget that it is a gift. You could ask, what is a gift? A gift is something that is given to someone as a token of appreciation out of love. It is not a payment for something. It is something that we're not owed. They don't owe it to us. There's some times you do owe something. Maybe let's talk about a child. A parent may tell their child, I'm going to use John here. John, I know you take care of your normal chores, but if you take care of this extra job for me, I'll pay you $1 or whatever you tell them. That dollar is not a gift. And your child can expect that dollar if he does his job right, and he'll receive his pay. But this morning we're looking at gifts. A gift is something that is not owed to you. Gifts come from a lot of different places, a lot of different shapes and forms. And we get so many of them that we can easily start to expect them. And we can become upset when we do not receive them. Do we appreciate the gift? Do we appreciate what the giver sacrificed to give what he did? The giver is not required to give, but it is giving of his own possessions out of the goodness of their heart. If the giver does not give, does not mean that he is not good. And I want you to remember that point. If the giver did not give, does not mean that they are not good. Too many times we write off someone, say, you know, they didn't give me something I was expecting. And you kind of chalk them off as being not a giving person, not a nice person. This is contrary to what the world is teaching us today. It is at the point that parents that parents are looked as if they're bad if they don't give gifts to their children. Society is expecting to receive, and you're expected to give. And gratefulness for the gift is no longer instilled in the children of today. We're going to look at a story in the scriptures here of someone that appreciated the gift that they received. Let's turn to Luke 17 here. I'm going to read a few verses here. Luke 17, I'm going to start out verse 11 here. Very familiar story. But yeah, Luke 17, verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village where there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto them, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." It's a fairly familiar story. Story that you would have probably known your growing up years. But we see Jesus coming on his journey to Jerusalem as he's passed through Samaria. And for the Jewish people, the Samaritan people were looked down on. They were despised people, and the last person they would go to help. And we see these 10 lepers sitting along the road, isolated from the rest of the people because of their sickness that plagued their bodies. And as they seen Jesus coming, they cried out and said, "Master, please have mercy on us." They were doomed in their sickness. And I'm fairly certain they were desperate for anything they could have. Jesus did not owe them anything and could have kept walking on by and ignored them. But out of the love that he had in his heart, he gave each one of them something. He chose to do that, even though he did not have to stop and even talk to them. He told them to go to the priest. We see them going, and on the way to the priest, Jesus granted them healing. But he didn't have to do that. Most people would have avoided the whole area because of the risk of even coming in contact with the disease. You think of all the precautions that COVID has brought and how much people avoid sickness in this world. They would go to great lengths, but Jesus did not. He went right next to them and talked to them. He gave them a gift of a second chance. You know, the world probably looked on, and especially the world today. If this would have happened in 2024 here, and if Jesus would have chose to decide, you know, it's not time to heal these lepers, and would have kept on walking by, the world today would have said Jesus owed it to them. They would have said he owed it to them because it was the moral thing to do. They would have said he owed it to them because Jesus was a good man and he had the powers to do it, so why didn't he share it with them? Jesus does not owe us anything. I do believe that these 10 lepers knew something about Jesus. I expect they didn't go crying out to every single person that came along asking to be healed. But I expect they heard the stories of what Jesus has been doing elsewhere. So I do believe that these people had the full confidence and faith that they would receive healing if they asked Jesus for it. Because if not, you would see them in the story. Now, it doesn't give us all the details, but they'd be like, why go to the priest? Can't you see that I'm not clean? He asks this question, is it okay for us to ask God for healing? Or you could say gifts that we're not owed. If healing is a gift that God does not have to grant us, is it okay to pray for what we're not owed? I was challenged by that. How many times do I ask God that for things that I technically really don't need? God has been so good for us here today that I can soon become like that spoiled American. And sorry, I'm picking on Americans because just where we live, I guess. But it's all over the world. And I can soon ask for things from God, and I can almost expect that if I ask God for what I want, he will give it. Is it okay to ask God for things? I want to just look at a few other verses here. In Psalms 34, I'll just read a couple verses. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them of the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of it. God does want us to call upon him. It's okay to call unto God for things we're suffering, whether it's health or hard things we're facing. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. While God wants us to call upon Him, there's two different ways that it can be done. We can call out to God and say, Lord, you must give me healing. I need you to take away this. Or you can call out to God and say, Father, I don't know what you have in this for me, but if it's your will, can you remove this thorn from me? So looking at the lepers, we see 10 of them crying out to God for mercy. We see 100% of them heading off to the priest to show themselves to the priest. We see 100% of them getting healed, getting cleansed of the sickness that caused them to call out to God in the first place. Every single one received the same healing. But we see only 90% of them getting exactly what they asked for. Yes, we could say, wait, wasn't the 10th leper asking to be healed? If he wasn't asking to be healed, then why was he crying out for mercy to God? I didn't live then, and the account doesn't give us a lot of details, but it gives us enough to piece together a picture. And I got to thinking and say, what was different about this 10th leper? What was different in his life? Why didn't he continue to go on rejoicing? I expect the other 9 were rejoicing, telling their friends, telling their family. What was different? In verse 15 it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. We see this one man, when he saw he was healed, he came back to Jesus. I don't think it was any coincidence at this point that it points out that he was a Samaritan. I think it's honestly a key piece of information in this story. There was a lot of social distance, would you say, between them and the Jews, but he still came back to Jesus. I do believe that this leper was crying out to Jesus for some relief of some kind, but would have been glad for anything. Maybe he needed food. Maybe he needed relief from disdain of the others and from society. Maybe he's calling out because of brokenness, of loss of relationship with his family. But I do believe he had a heart that was willing to receive whatever Jesus had for him. But when he saw that he was healed and that he received more than he deserved, he came back and fell at the feet of Jesus. He realized he got a gift that he did not deserve. But even though of the social disdain between the groups of people, he was willing to come back and thank Jesus for what he'd done. He appreciated the gift he received. I just want to look back at the other nine real quickly here. They received just what they asked for. I don't think they were surprised one bit that they were healed. I'm sure that they were happy, but when you ask for one thing specific, you have a less appreciation for what the giver has to give you. And I feel that the nine in this story represent what we see in America around us today. And also what we get caught up in ourselves. We can become so used to expecting that we will receive what, that we no longer appreciate the gift. And we are so used to receiving that it no longer seems a gift, but what we are owed. If we truly receive what we are owed, we would be dead without hope. God did not send his son because we deserved it. He did not send his son because we earned it. But he sent his son out of love as a gift to those that take the courage to cry out to him. There is times we cry out to God and he chooses not to answer how we would like. And we can easily get discouraged if we forget that it's God's will and not our own. There is many that call out to God and almost demand God to take care of what they need. And after not receiving, they write God off as an unjust God. Just because the giver did not give you a gift does not mean he is not good. And just because God did not choose to bring the roses into your life, but gave you thorns instead, does not mean he's an unjust God. Looking back at the one that came back to Jesus, the one that appreciated what he had received. And there's one point I want to make with that this morning. Verse 19 says, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith made thee whole." Earlier in the passage, it says that he returned because he was healed, or cleansed, it says. Actually, I think the correct word is. All 10 had physical healing. But this one had an appreciation for a gift that he received, that he came back and glorified God. And because of that, he received a spiritual healing that the other nine did not receive. It says, "His faith, thy faith, had made thee whole." What is your appreciation for the gifts you receive in your life? Have you become so expectant that you will receive that you lost the true meaning of a gift? Or are you or are you falling at the feet of the giver out of true thankfulness and reverence? When you live in true appreciation, you will receive more than just the gift. Let's kneel for prayer.